May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Song of Solomon, chapter 4. This is a bridegroom speaking of his bride, his church. For us individually, Jesus speaking. A garden enclosed is my sister and my bride. A rock garden that's enclosed and a spring that's sealed up. Your shoots are like orchards of pomegranates with choice fruits, henna and spikenard plants, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and alloy, along with all the finest spices. You are a garden spring, and a well of fresh water, and streams flowing from Lebanon. And the bride responds, Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south. Make my garden breathe out a fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and take delight in me and eat of its choice fruits. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have taken and gathered from the myrrh and from the balsam. I have eaten the honeycomb and the honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. Now all friends around, you come and drink, imbibe deeply, become intoxicated in her presence, O lovers of mine. That's a fascinating scripture. When Jesus refers to us as a garden enclosed, he identifies something really important that we should never forget. I think it's Revelation 5:11, could be 4:11, says, and for his pleasure we were created. Not for our pleasure, but for his pleasure. I wrote something last week that is clarifying that we have to kind of keep in front of us all the time, is that the Christian life is not about trying to fit Jesus into our lives, but it's about us fitting into his life. There's a huge difference. Westerners are really cursed with that thing about wanting Jesus to fit into our lives and our dreams and our vision and our hopes and our desires, the whole American dream, that we want Jesus to come and make that thing work and to spiritualize it. That's just not what Jesus has called us to. He's called us to fit into his life. Because when he talks about a garden that belongs to a king, he says it's a garden enclosed, you'd think about an estate or a castle, and this would be a private garden that particularly belongs to a king. And that garden exists for two purposes, if you read through the scripture, and the garden exists, one, for a place of intimacy for him to go, to grow for his pleasure. It brings pleasure to him. It's a place of intimacy for him, a place of joy for him. And then two, it's something he loves to share with others. It's a garden he can be really proud of and he can share with others. When it begins to name things like cinnamon and stuff, most likely that's the fruit of the Spirit, because there's none of them listed. Of course, there's none aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in Galatians. But there's a couple of things he says about this garden enclosed, this about us as believers, that we've been set apart for him. We've been set apart for his pleasure, for his purposes. He's not been set apart for our purposes. He's not going to serve our purposes. It just doesn't work well that way. That's one of the reasons we get frustrated a lot, fall into unbelief and aggravation a lot, because he doesn't fit into our plans. But it was never meant to be that way. But he says a couple of things about this. Us as a garden enclosed. One, again, is that we're created for his pleasure. Then he says that you're a spring sealed up. And then later he says, verse 15, you're a garden spring, a well of fresh water. Sounds like John 7, a well of water springing up into eternal life, John 4, and then streams of living water. and streams flowing from Lebanon. Lebanon always speaks in the Song of Solomon, almost all the time in the Old Testament, as what represents the new creation. And he's saying that as a new creation, the source of your new life, you're a garden, you've been set apart for my pleasure, and right in the middle is this river of the Holy Spirit, which is the source of my life in you. And it just flows, it just wells up, a spring of living water flowing up in you. It's part of who you are. It's the core of who you are as a new creation, is the Holy Spirit's bringing up the very life of Christ in you. Then he begins to name, he says, your shoots are like this, and your spikenard. He said, and the fruit of the Spirit, see, this is what you understand. For every Christian, because Jesus Christ has come to live inside of you as the source of living water, garden won't work very well without water. So as the source of living water, supernatural living water, it's not like the Lord comes and says, well, I hope that joy will start to spring up in you. I hope that love will start to spring up in you. I hope that peace will start to spring up in you. Every person is born with that in them. It's already there. You got it all. You've been made complete in Christ. What he's praying is that all that stuff grows, blossoms, comes to fruit, comes to maturity. But it's already been planted in us, and then there's a supernatural source that feeds and fuels that. It's kind of like this, is that the source of living water is in me that waters the garden. The fruit of the Spirit's already there. It just has to grow. But my part is just live for His pleasure. Just remember that I live for His purposes and I live for His pleasure, and His desire for intimacy with me is the number one issue in life. And I live for His pleasure and His pleasure alone, His will. And then all the rest of it has a way of taking care of itself, except there's one thing that can accelerate the process. If you remember John 15 about fruit bearing, he says that there's a time for pruning. When I went through Bible college, I worked as a landscaper with a guy, and we would prune. There were certain times of year when you would prune certain things, and you'd prune them, even though I'm sure it was painful to the plant, and it made it look ugly for a while. And you usually prune like this time of the year when it's cold, and what will happen is that you, if you know what you're doing, you got to know where to prune, when to prune, how much to prune. But what you can't see is everything looks ugly on the outside because it looks bare. But what's happening on the below the surface is the roots are going down really deep to draw from nourishment to so that when spring comes, you'll have much more fruit, much more blossoms that come around. And this is a prayer that this bride prays. Awake, north wind, and come, wind of the south. North wind brings death. This weather we had, this cold stuff. North wind does a couple of things. One, it brings death, and it also exposes anything that's not covered. It exposes flesh, all flesh. If you go out and, when I went out, let Henry out, I knew real soon what wasn't covered up good enough because of how cold it was with the snow. But south wind brings life. Spring winds bring life. But the north winds serve a purpose in that. They bring death on the surface, but they're causing things to go deep below the surface so that when the south wind blows, it'll bring life, resurrection life. And this is what she prays. Awake, O north wind, come wind of the south, make my garden breathe out its fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. She's praying for maturity and growth. That stuff that's been planted in her would just grow. And its fragrance would go forth. And then she repeats, and may my beloved come into his garden and take delight in me. She says, that's why I live. And then he says, I've come into my garden, I've drunk, I've done all those things. And he looks like he looks at all the ones around him. Now you come. And the word literally is, you get intoxicated with this life. when we talk about north wind, we're not talking about, okay, God, I'm praying for tragedies to happen in my life. We live in a fallen world, things are going to happen. But we live in a fallen world and things are going to happen anyway, aren't they? He said, in this world you have tribulation, and we spend most of our time, Christians, avoiding. Just anything to avoid any stuff. And yet, the heart of the bride was, I live for your pleasure. And so I know that north wind and south wind make what you've put in me grow to come forth, therefore the fragrance of your life to come forth. So bring it on, Lord. Bring the north wind. Expose anything that's flesh. Cause the roots to go deep. Put to death what needs to be put to death. And then come wind of the south. You know, put to death, bring the life. Put to death, bring the life. Because I want you to come into your garden and take delight in me. Or maybe the prayer is when you find yourself in a situation, instead of begging to get out of it, you know, is to say, bring it on. Bring it on, Lord. Blow, north wind. Lord, I don't want out of this thing until the north wind's done all it's going to do, and then the south wind can do all it's going to do, and when I've come out of this, I bring more pleasure to you than I ever have before. You can drink deep from me, and others can draw from your garden. Because we live for his pleasure and for his purpose, and his purpose is about others. We're called to shine, not to whine. And shining is a fact, not an act. It's a result of reality. That's what he says in Scripture, didn't he say? Let your good works so shine before men that we're the light set on the hill. We live for his pleasure and for others' prosperity spiritually. That's why we live. And so maybe when we go through tough places, instead of always wanting to get out of it as quick as we can, and I know what that feels like, instead, Lord, I believe that I'm your garden, and just cause the north wind to blow and do all you want to do. And then cause the south wind to blow and raise up all you want to raise up. So when this is all done, I bring more pleasure to you than I ever have before. And I shine and prosper the souls of others because of the testimony of your life. The whole new creation thing. There's a place, and just before that, I like this. It says, honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garment is like the fragrance of Lebanon. The idea being is that, again, Lebanon being a new creation is like the fragrance of your garment. So the words of your mouth are like honey and milk are under your tongue. Speak a spirit-filled life, the life of Canaan, victorious life. But every movement you make just releases the fragrance of new creation. Everything that you say and everything that you do speaks of the triumphant risen Christ and the new creation. And just like in John 15, there's just this process of intimacy and abiding, but the way he accelerates the process, if it's your prayer, if you've ever prayed that prayer, oh God, I want to grow. I want my growth in you to accelerate. Then the north wind's coming. But the south wind comes right after it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.